Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
Good morning, church. You may please have your seat this morning in the presence of God. Hallelujah. It's such a joy and honor to bring the word of the Lord to you this morning. I'm grateful to God for the opportunity and for counting me worthy. And I'm grateful to the entire leadership of the church, to Pastor in absentia. Thank you so much, Pastor. For entrusting me to do this. And I pray that God will help me in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I have 54 minutes. I know that the last time I preached, but this morning God will help me. Amen. 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 All right, if you have a Bible, very quickly, let's open to 1 John chapter 1. We'll read verse 1. And 2. We'll read verse 1 to 4. Verse 1 to 4. 1 John chapter 1. 1 to 4. If you are there, say, let's go. I hope you guys have your Bibles. If you don't have, just read from the screen. Let's read together. 1 to go. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with Father, is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I'll take that again from verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and have heard, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, who? Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. Hallelujah. All right, very quickly, I want to ask, how many people love to pray in this house? How many people love to pray? If you don't love to pray, don't. If you love to pray, raise it well like this, above your... If you are not raising your hand, it's not... Thank you. Those are being sincere. I know people pray frequently. You know, it's a different thing to love to pray. It's a different thing to pray frequently. How many people pray often, frequently? Don't be shy. Raise your hand. If you are not praying, it's fine. How many people love to pray frequently? Raise it well. How many people enjoy it when we come together to pray? Say like encounter night, yeah, something like that. Everybody. Hallelujah. Have you guys noticed that when we come to pray at encounter night, I mean, when we are praying in your spirit and in your mind, you are like, ha, I'm back. The fire is back. When I get home, I'm going 4 hours straight. I can go 1 hour on my own. So when that happens, say like a day after, maybe a day after, some people are still like, pa, 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 pa. A week after, 1 hour happens. 2 weeks after, what happens? We don't know. Somebody said flesh. Okay. And then the next, and then you're looking forward to the next encounter night again that, okay, I'm going to recharge now. And once I recharge, I'm good to go again. Pa, 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 pa. It's fine. It's fine. If that is how you can do it for now, keep doing it. There was going to be one, just one that you will pray and you'll not be able to stop praying. Trust me. It's going, there's, it's just one. It's one encounter, one. How many did Apostle Paul have? One. Oh, tell your neighbor, it's just one. One encounter, and you are good to go. All right, for a title this morning, I have Fan into Flame. Fan into Flame. I trust that the Holy Spirit will help us, and we'll be able to pray this morning. Like, actually pray this morning. So this time thing, God will help us. Amen. Amen. We'll pray together as a church, and then we'll take the communion to seal it. Amen. All right, fan into flame. Fan into flame. If I could have a title, hey, I had a lot. I had a lot. Ah, this one. It was the Holy Spirit that gave me. When I was praying, one of my prayer sessions, just before now, when I was praying at home, I was just praying. Towards the end, just dropped in my spirit. I said, this one is not from me, it's from the Holy Spirit. So I'm telling you, the ones I had for myself, I have them written down. But Kolo, you know when you want to preach and then, this one, Kolo. This one, Kolo. Eventually, I had one that seemed like, oh, Lord. But God said, no, this is what I want. Fan into flame. All right, let's do 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 11 to 14. 2 Chronicles. So, backstory to this. Solomon, you know, David wanted to build a temple for God, right? And then God said that you have too many blood in your hand and all of that and all of that. But your son who is going to inherit the throne is going to build a throne, is going to build a temple for me. And that was Solomon, right? Now, in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon built the temple, and then in chapter 7 he's dedicating the temple now, right? So now after he has prayed prayer of dedication, that prayer was a very long prayer. So after he prayed, then verse 11, now the Lord now responding to him. My heading in my own Bible says that the Lord appears to Solomon. In your own Bible you might have the Lord answers Solomon, or the Lord speaks, or whatever, right? So verse 11 now, when Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace, and had succeeded in carrying out all that he had in mind to do. Can you guys hear me? All that he had in mind to do. In the temple of the Lord and his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer. That means he has prayed, right? I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for what? For sacrifices. Verse 13 now, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send a plague among my people. If my people, verse 14 now, let's read together. I want to go. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Let's read verse 14 again. Let's go. I want to go. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their... Verse 15, let's go. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. In the expression, I'll say, amen. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. Just like the name of the Lord is here forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there. And as for you, if you walk before me, as your father David did, and do all that I commanded, and observe my decrees and laws, then he says, I will establish your throne as I covenanted with your father David when I said you never fail to have a man to rule over Israel. Right? So now, after Solomon prayed, and then he dedicated the temple, and then God came, and you know, and then God said, he said all of these things, and then he said, so, very, very much in the heart of God, if you read through the scriptures well, and if you check all of the people that prayed in the scripture, well, I'm not sure I've read the scripture from cover to cover several times, and I'm not sure I've read of any account of anyone who prayed and God didn't answer. If you have, let me see you, wave your hand, teach us this morning. I'm serious. Nobody. So this was God answering Solomon's prayer, right? However, apart from, and then we know that what went on after now, and then God said, whatever you want, ask me. And then Solomon asked for wisdom and all of that. But at the core, at the center of all of this, what God actually desires in the place of prayer is fellowship, is communion, is relationship. Do you get what I'm saying? Like I was saying, that many people prayed in the Bible, right? And then God answered all of them. I'm saying all of them. God answered all of them. And one thing I noticed again, from everybody that prayed in the Bible, nobody prayed for personal needs or material needs. Have you guys noticed? And have you noticed that with the fact that you didn't pray for personal needs or material needs, none of them lacked anything? Do you hear what I'm saying? I mean, so much that God had to provide a raven to feed Elijah. such provision. Do you get what I'm saying? Are we together? Are we together? We'll get there. Don't worry. We'll get there. So as I was saying, that if you read through the scriptures, it is quite evident and glaring that what God actually desires in the place of prayer is relationship, fellowship, communion, and friendship. And friendship. Like he had with Moses. If you have your Bible again, still let's go to Exodus. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. This portion of this chapter, verse 12 to 21. No, to 22, actually. Let's quickly read 11 first. Then we'll now come to 12 to 22. It's amazing. I mean, this was literally God and Moses having a conversation. Bible said, and Moses said, and God said, and Moses said, and God said. We, now, when we pray, is this not how we pray? In the name of Jesus, say you want to pray 1 hour, and then say for like 15 minutes, you are scabashing, you are praying, and it's very hot and powerful and all of that, and you are sweating, and you have really prayed, which is fine, right? And then at the end of your prayer, then you now keep quiet, say, speak, Lord, for your son listens, for your daughter listens, or for your servant listens. Is that not how we pray? But in the Bible, the way they prayed was, it was actually a conversation. If I ask everybody here now that what is prayer, everybody will say prayer is communication with God or communicating to God or communicating with God. However you put it, you are correct. Prayer is having a conversation with God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is whatever you call it, is fine. But do we actually have a conversation? Do you get what I'm saying? Do we have a conversation when we pray? Or we just come and then we pour everything out, and then if he speaks fine, if he doesn't speak fine, after 1 hour, we are gone. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand? Are we together, guys? Right? I mean, if I were to have a conversation with Shekinah now, it's not a monologue. I'm not the only one speaking. Do you get? I'm talking, I keep quiet, she talks. I talk, she talks. Even gets to a point, it becomes an argument sometimes. It almost looks like both of us are talking together, just like Abraham and God. You know, when God was saying that, shall I do a thing and I'll not let Abraham know of it. And then he went to God, and God went to him and said, this city of Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham said, God, I'm sorry, but what if they are killing God? God said, if I find 50 people, I'll not destroy it. Abraham went again. God, he looked to me like, this guy gets chest, though. You didn't question God. Do you understand? That is conversation. And did you notice that it wasn't Abraham that went to God in prayer? It was God that said, shall I do a thing and I will not tell Abraham? Are we together? That is another level. That's another, I don't know, that kind of level of prayer. So that you are just on your own, JJ. God will just come to you. Tolu, I need to discuss this with you. I need to discuss with you, blessing. I need to discuss with you. Omo. Make I reach that level last song. And God actually does. But we don't just pay attention to it. When you are sleeping and then you just wake up in the night and you are saying, I don't even know what woke me up. It was God that woke you up to pray. I just feel like praying. That is God telling you that, come. I want to talk to you. As it was in the days of old, so it is now. Let's move on very quickly. All right, so Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. The Bible says that the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as a man with his friend. Then Moses will return to the camp. He would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. So that means Moses would go to the tent, and every time Moses went to the tent, it was when the children of Israel, when they want, among those people, I don't know why the Bible called them children of Israel. Those ones with their wahala, they were adults of Israel. No, those people, when you read, you'll be like, again, I'd be like, if I were there, I would not disobey God like this. So, because it looks like God was talking to these people face to face. It looks like they were like literally hearing his voice. He showed them signs. They saw things like this. And then they will go again, they will disobey God. They will go again, they will do what they wanted to do. And all of that, and Moses will always run back to God. God, these people. Even he got to a point when he was even saying that he's tired. He didn't want to do it again. He didn't say it directly like that. But what he meant was that he didn't want to do it again. If there's anybody that could do it, and all of that. Do you get? So now, Bible established here in verse 11 of Exodus 33 that the Lord will speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Please note that it was not the day Moses started praying that God started talking. The first time God spoke to Moses, how did he speak to him? How did he speak to him? What? Burning bush. Do you hear what I'm saying? As a burning bush. And Moses was scared. And God said, don't be afraid. The land which you are standing is a holy ground. Put off your shoes and all of that and all of that. And then the relationship continued. And it continued. And it continued. What is this scripture telling us? It's saying that when you start praying, that's what I was asking initially. How many people enjoy praying? See, prayer is not cinema. Prayer is not games. It's not movies. It's not ice cream. It's not primarily meant for you to enjoy. Do you get what I'm saying? So it doesn't become a case of, sometimes I don't enjoy seeing a movie, then I don't see it. So what if you don't enjoy praying? You don't feel like praying? Are you telling me that you will not pray? Do you get what I'm saying? God instituted prayer for us to communicate with Him, for us to talk to Him. God cannot, He wouldn't have made you if He didn't want you to talk to Him. Because the way some of our relationships with God is, or are, is like we are keeping malice with God. Do you get what I'm saying? God is saying, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. The more He's saying, come unto me, the more we are moving away. The more He's saying, come unto me, the more we are moving away. The more He's saying, come unto me, the more we are moving away. That's not the grand plan of God. Even when He created Adam and Eve, Adam especially, and we'll check that very quickly. What God actually wanted with Adam was this thing that He had with Moses, was what He wanted with Adam. So that He will come in the cool of the evening, and then He will come to the garden, and then Adam and Eve will be there, and God will just, oh, guys, come now, let's talk, let's gist. Do you understand? That was God's intention. That was His grand plan. That was His vision. And that is still what He wants, even till now, with me, with you, with us, with everybody. So how do we have this level of relationship if we don't pray? If we don't pray. It's not the prayer that we come to church 10 minutes Sunday morning, 10 minutes or 15 minutes Thursday. No, it's a prayer. It's not even the prayer that we do every encounter night, 1 hour. It looks like, 1 hour is a long time. No, what God wants is everyday consistency. Every day. Let God hear your voice and know that, do you get what I'm saying? I mean, if God hears anybody's voice, He created us, He would know. But in the place of prayer, your voice is special. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? He can tell that this is the time. And this was what happened with Adam and Eve. If you tell God that, God, every morning, 5 a.m., I want to be praying, God is there. Even if you have not been praying, if this is your first time, after this service, if this is the first time you'll be praying, and you tell God that every evening by 8 p.m., today, starting from today, Sunday, God, I want to talk to you for 30 minutes. I want to talk to you for 1 hour. I want to talk to you for 15 minutes. However you can go. And you tell God, trust me, God is there 8 p.m. He did the same for Adam and Eve. We'll get there. Let's quickly read through Moses, story of Moses. And the Bible says that Moses will return to the camp from his place of retreat. I have a question here for everybody. Where do we run to when chips are down? Where do we go to when it looks like nothing is making sense? Where do we run to when it looks like everything is just against us? To friends, to family, or to God in the place of prayer? Moses would always run back to God. God, the people that you have entrusted in my care, they are saying this, they are saying that. God, these people, they are this, they are that. Moses was wise enough to know that it was God that gave me this vision to lead these people to the promised land. Then when it looks like it's not going on well, it's not by my wisdom that I started this journey in the first place. It was God that commissioned the journey. Then I run back to God. God, what's going on? It's looking like it's not making sense anymore. So where do we run to when we begin to have challenges, when we begin to have situations in our lives, and it looks like, I'm even praying, I'm not even seeing results, and all of that. Some people have even stopped praying because they feel like God doesn't answer prayer. God has sent me this morning to tell you that He answers prayers, and you should come back to the place of prayer because He's waiting for you to come and pray. He's waiting for you to come and talk to Him. He's waiting for you to come and have a relationship with Him, to come and communion with Him, to come and enjoy. There's something with Him that is waiting. See, if you like, stop praying from now till Jesus comes. Do you think it is God that is missing out? Because sometimes we think that, okay, Say, for example, I'm praying for admission. I've written jam, I passed post jam. I did this, I did that. My name is not on the admission list. Next year again, I even scored better than I did last year. My name is still not on the admission list. Or I'm believing God for a car, and then I don't know what's going on. It looks like it's not forthcoming, and all of that. I'll even stop praying, like we do to our friends. Wadere, you're not telling God. No, then you pray more. Don't pray. You will pray. You just don't know yet. When it's time to pray, you will come back. You will run back to pray. We can't be treating God like he's... See, Bible says that God is not a man. God is not a man. You cannot be treating God like he's a man. Because you have not seen physical manifestation yet, then you decide that you are not going to pray again. To whose detriment do you think that is? To God's detriment? You think God is going to jump down and say, oh, you think it's your prayer that is keeping him as God? We need our prayer for ourselves. God doesn't need our prayers. He wants the relationship. He's happy when we have it with him. He wants the communion. He wants the fellowship. He's happy. I mean, say for some 50 years ago, 50 years ago, we didn't have as much as, or there were not as many believers as we have now. Do you hear what I'm saying? So probably maybe not many people were praying to God as many people are praying to him now. Did he stop being God? In the next 50 years, if Jesus tarries, we are going to have more believers, right? That means that more people will pray to God. So now that as many people that will pray to God then are not praying now, has God stopped being God? So if you now take your place away, or if you take yourself away, GS, from the equation of people who pray to God, you think God will now be moved and he will now be unhappy? You think God is craving our attention that much? You need his attention, my sister. You need his attention, my brother. We should be the one knocking on the door. Like the Bible says, I knock and it shall be opened to you. Ko, God, I've come. Ko, God, let's sit. And I've heard many preachers, they say that in their room, they have a seat. Every time they want to pray, they have two seats. They have one for themselves, and then they have one for God. They imagine that God is there. I mean, that is one way to cultivate a prayer culture. That is one way to cultivate a relationship with God. That way, you are actually going to be having a conversation, because you can imagine that, okay, somebody is here listening to me as I'm praying. Then while I'm talking, he's listening to me, he's talking back at me, or he's talking back to me. Are we together? All right, let's continue. Now, so let's move to verse 12 now. So the Bible says that Moses, the Lord will speak to Moses as a friend will speak to his brother and all of that. And then verse 12 now says that Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember this nation is your people. Verse 14 says, the Lord replied Moses, my presence will go with you. I mean, all of these conversations cannot come if all Moses went to pray for was, God, give me bread and butter. God, kill my enemies. God, I need a car. God, I need an admission. God, I want to travel out. Do you get what I'm saying? All of those things are fine, but what deeper than that, what God actually wanted, or what God still wants, is relationship. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. What he gave Adam first was a relationship before the garden came. Do you get what I'm saying? The Bible says that when he made him, he gave him his breath. Do you understand? He gave him his breath, and then man became a living being. That's really, you will see the offset of that action when we get there. And then before he now put him in the garden for provision, he told him you can have anything you want in the garden. What God desires first is relationship. We cannot be doing Sunday in, Sunday out. The time that we read the Bible on the Sunday morning is the only time we read it throughout the week. No. We literally need to have a relationship with God. And I do not see how we can have one if you don't talk to him. Do you get what I'm saying? It's like me trying to check a lady now, and I don't talk to her. And then I think it's by sign language, by eye contact that I will do it. I see her, I smile at her, and then out of courtesy, she smiles back. Okay, We've established that. You have smiled at me. Eh? So one now continues. And then next Sunday, I smile at her again. She smiles at me. Next Sunday, I smile again. She smiles at me. Next Sunday, I smile again. She smiles at me. Before I know, they will just come and say, oh yeah, sister, can you come? And brother, can you come? Church, let's pray for them. They are getting married. Me, I will now be hot. Is it not me that started smiling at her at first? Can you come? No. You did not open your mouth to talk. That's how it is. That's when we begin to nudge grudges. That's when we begin to have, did I not get to church before him? Why does it look like God is answering his prayer before me? No, he is doing something that you are not doing. He's praying, and he's praying the will of God. See what I'm saying? So it's not a matter of I led him. If you like being in Christ for 10 years, lead somebody to Christ in 3 months. If he's doing what he's supposed to do, the Bible says that it is God that is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If he's willing and doing of his good pleasure, God will respond to it. Do you hear what I'm saying? So we cannot be... We need to pray, guys. We need to actually pray. We need to cultivate habits of prayer. We need to cultivate... Prayer has to be... I don't know. It has to be what it has to be. There was a time I felt like I wasn't praying enough, or like I needed to pray more, and all of that. Years ago. And what I did was, I just promised myself that until I have prayed, I will not use my phone and I will not use my laptop. And I know how important it is for me to use my laptop. Right? So until I have prayed, I'm not going to my laptop. That was years ago. And it really helped. It really helped. Like many people will say, before you call on the phone, learn to call on the throne. Call on God. Call on God. Guys, I don't want to sugarcoat it. I don't want to cajole anybody. I just want you to see and know that prayer is important. The Bible says that in God we live, we move, and we have our being. If you have your being in God, that means you have a relationship with God. How are you nurturing this relationship? How are you grooming this relationship? How is it going without prayer? Where is the relationship? Do you get what I'm saying? Without prayer. It's like saying you have a boyfriend or you have a girlfriend, and then 1 month you are not talking to the person. There's no call, no text, nothing. And people say you are in love. Is it possible? Verse 14 of Exodus chapter 33. The Bible says, the Lord replied, Moses, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to him, see two people talking now, see relationship. Bible says, then Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send up us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing that you have asked for. Because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Does God know you by name? Does he know you beyond your certificate name or your christening name? Larry, your name, Joseph, your name, Kendi, your name, Angela. That's your name. That's fine. But God, does God know you by identity of prayer? Do you get what I'm saying? The reason why Moses said that, God, if you don't lead us, we are not moving. And God said that, I will lead you. Right? Was because he knows that this guy actually trusts me. And God actually trusts him too. Because he knows that somewhere along the line, Moses will not say, I'm not doing it again, no. What is sumio? You see what I'm saying? Moses had reasons to say that. He's not divorced. Even when God told him that I told you to speak to the rock and you struck the rod for this sake, you will not enter into the promised land. Moses did not stop having a relationship with God. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? It's like God giving you a vision and say that, promise, I want you to raise 20 people from the Expression House and I want to send you people to Canada. That's a very good vision. Everybody likes that vision. Who doesn't like that kind of vision? And he says, I'll make provision and I'll do this and do that and do this and do that. And 1 week, your visa has been granted. Accommodation has been settled. If it is school you want to do, settled. If it is work you want, work. Everything settled. 1 week to travel. You have packed your bag. You have sold virtually everything in your house. Your TV, you've given it away. Your furniture, you have sold it. This one, like everybody knows, by this time next week, if I don't do Canada, or you say, Baba, now God, they do more. And then God should now say, you are not going again. And the people that you, thank you. And the people that you have raised are going. How many of us will wake up the next day, 5 a.m., say, oh yeah, God, it's our 2 hours prayer time. Let's pray. How many people? Be sincere. What's your God been, you know? What does God mean? What does it mean? All this while, I have been the one going to Lagos. I know what the visas officers, I know what my eyes saw. Kiniko, 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 kiniko. I know how much of my personal funds have gone into this. And now God is, I will not even pray again. I will not even be in the choir again. I will not even sing again. I will not even do drama again. And you now think God will now say, Jesus, Holy Spirit, angels, elders, promise said he's not praying again. Ah, if you are like that, do like this. Better clear your face. See front well. You're on a long thing. That will never happen. Our response in such cases should still be, sir, yes, sir, even though it is painful. I mean, Jesus Christ said that if this call could pass over me, Lord, please, but your will and not my will. So whatever it is that you are going through that you think that I'll never pray again. You, have you gone through? If they divide what Jesus Christ went through to give us salvation, if they divide it by 1 million, right? You have not gone through 1/1 million division. You have not gone through. Hallelujah. Are we together? A place of prayer is a place of consecration. Is a place of setting apart for God's holy use. A place of consecration. When you say, God, this time is for me and you alone. No phones, no calls, nothing, nothing. And one very important call we now enter. And I say, when we are praying, let's try. I like to imagine things a lot. Imagine you are praying and then God is here and I'm here. And I'm praying in other tongues. I'm praying. And God is there. Okay. And then he's listening. I'm uttering, like the Bible says, he will speak in tongues, speaks unto God and not unto men. He's uttering miseries. And I'm uttering miseries like that. And according to Jude 20 as well, I'm building up myself in my most holy faith. I'm praying in other tongues. And God is interested in what I'm saying. Right? And then I have a phone call. And I see that maybe it's my boss from work, or it's one number that I've been waiting, expecting that, or if that number calls me, that job has entered. So if I now stop that prayer to go and pick it, what do you think you have done to God? Do you think God doesn't know that you need it? So when we are praying, it's a time of consecration away from everybody, away from everything, no matter how important it can be, it could be, it will be, it shall be, everything, away from it, because this is a time of destiny. That 5 minutes that you have dedicated to pray is a time of destiny. That 1 minute that you have dedicated to pray is a time of destiny. 1 hour that you have dedicated to pray is a time of destiny. 2 hours that you have dedicated to pray is a time of destiny. Nothing should come in between. Nothing at all should come in between. That's the time when kings are born. That's the time when we begin to travel. The Bible says that as soon as Zion travels, she brought forth her children. That's when we begin to bring forth things. That's when we begin to have answers. That's when we begin to have prophecies. Imagine how disrupting such divine and holy time, consecrated time, with phone call, with my father. No, it's disrespect. Prayer is not what we should trifle with. Prayer is not what we should toy with. I mean, we are talking to God. If you understand who God is, if you have an idea, the person of God alone, you will not toy with prayer. You will know, when you are praying, you will know that, this time is for God and is for God alone. Check out what I'm saying. And let me tell you something. The day you decide to pray one particular time, maybe first few days, it might go papa. I can promise you, to get to a time, it will look like all the appointments in this world, that's the time they are now fixing it. All the most important things that it seems you have to do in this world, that's the time they are fixing it. That's all that's when you now literally have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the affairs, like Jesus Christ said, the affairs of this world. Let it not choke away your prayer time. Let it not take you, let it not drive you away from your prayer time. Why does it have to be like you ask some people, you don't come to church last Sunday? I'm unfortunately.
Laro Sunday. What? I've asked to ask somebody, wait. Why is it that it's always church time, God's time, prayer time that can wait for other things? Why can't other things wait for God? See what I'm saying? Many people, I'm telling you, so I've spoken to so many people, and they see it as a normal thing. Sunday morning is for washing clothes. And they go to work Monday to Friday. They go to work Monday to Saturday. Sunday morning like this. I say, so when you now finish washing the clothes, what now happens? If they can still make church time, they will come. If not, they will now rest because they will still go to work again on Monday. Ah, I say, God, have mercy. Our Sunday is for washing clothes. God, if I were God, I can say that clothes should not dry again till the end of the world. Imagine the kind of sun that we are experiencing now, and you now spread such clothes from Monday. You will go to work, you will come back. Ah, show your run. Ojo run. Ah, show your God. Ben, thank God we are not God. It's something I can do. It will not dry. The one in the wardrobe that is clean, I will make it wet. Ben, maybe it's because of clothes that you cannot come to church. You will go and buy a new one as they pack it. From the hand of the person that you have bought it, is dry. As you carry it like this, it's wet. You give it back to the person, it's dry. As it touches your hand like this, it's wet. Oh yeah, now go and be washing clothes. But I'm not God. Hallelujah. God is very. God will never do that to anybody. He's very merciful. Why do you think God created an avenue for us to talk to Him? I mean, why did God not just create us? I mean, He's God Almighty. If He wanted to do this, He could have done it. I mean, create us, and then after creating us, and then, boom, we are here. And then He's the one kind of detecting everything we are doing. Do you get what I'm saying? Right? So every Sunday morning, if you are not in church, you are in trouble. Because that's God's timetable. After Sunday, you have 2 hours to rest at home. After resting, you have to be at maybe house fellowship or house cell. And then after that, you have another 2 hours to prepare dinner. After that, you must be in God's presence for the next 3 hours. If that was God, if that was how God fashioned it, now so we go to do Amo. Do you know? I mean, if God didn't give us a choice, if He didn't give us a will, and as you have gone like this, your nature, that's what you have grown up with. That's how it would have been. But God didn't do that. You see, because He did, you see, God is not a He covets the relationship. He wants it. He desires it. But He's not a forceful God. He will never force anybody. He will never. I've not read in the scriptures the apostles, all the people that they spoke to, all the people that preached to. How many of them did they forcefully tell? And they held them by the throat like this. Oh, you say after me, dear Jesus. No. That's when we go to preach. Are you sure you want to give your life to Jesus? Me, I always ask you. Or do you want to think about it? And why are you thinking about it? If Jesus comes, well, I've preached. Do you hear what I'm saying? But it's not a forceful thing. So God was very, very intentional. He was very, very intentional with this. Let's see what He wanted with this. Did you notice that in the scripture, God has been speaking to man, I mean to Adam, right from the inception, right from the beginning, right? After God, let's go to the book of Genesis. After God created man in Genesis chapter 1, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, yeah, 2 verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord formed the man, who is Adam, from the dust of the ground and breathed into him, into his nostrils, the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the man became a living being. And of course, his name, Adam. Adam means man. Now, for God to prove to man or to Adam, and for him to make him realize his potential, that this is the reason for which I have created you, is for relationship. Do you get what I'm saying? Imagine how Adam must have seen God. Let's try and imagine, guys. Imagine God creating Adam, and then he's just there as a cadaver, just body like that. And then the breath comes on him, and then he sneezes, and then he comes to life, and then he sees God. He would be maybe terrified, or he would be so scared to talk to God. He would have mixed feelings. How do I approach this guy? Do you get what I'm saying? And all of those things. But God didn't want that. God wants him to see it from a point of relationship. Even though God is superior, right? He doesn't want us to approach him as inferior being. No. The Bible says, let us approach with what? Boldness. Boldness. And that was what he was trying to do with Adam, that Adam didn't get. When God told Adam, when God made Adam and all of that, so because God wanted him to see, to realize his potential as man, then that was one of the reasons why God now told him that, oh yeah, come. God now brought all the animals to Adam, right? Who did the first creation? God. Who did the first naming? God. Now the second one, who is going to do it? Adam. Say, oh yeah, I've done this. Oh yeah, you to do something like I have done. Do you understand? That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. Let's quickly jump to Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. Because when we go to God sometimes, we always look at it like, ah, we are one timid being. And no, God doesn't want that. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1. The Bible says that be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly beloved children. Dearly beloved children. Dearly beloved children. So back to Genesis now. This was what God wanted with Adam. To imitate him. To do like him. Now, God named one person, Adam. How many people did Adam name? Adam first named all the animals. I mean, imagine you naming all the animals in this world. That will grow a level of confidence. Right? I mean, you will be like, ah, Omo, I've done something similar to what God has done. It's just like you now, raising the dead. Ha! Will you not be happy? Will you not give you more confidence? If imagine you have raised the dead. You now hear somebody that says that he's down with malaria. It's just like, ah, in your mind. In your mind, you'll be like, ah, if God could raise the dead through me, what's malaria that he cannot heal? You will be prompted to pray for the person. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what God was trying to do with Adam. This is something that I have done. You to replicate it. Do you get? God named one person. Adam was the only person in this world. Do you get? I mean, was it God that gave you your name? Was it your parents that gave you your name? Some people, your parents will say it was God that gave them the name. But it was your parents that pronounced the name. So that what I'm saying is, Adam was the only person that God actually pronounced his name. Do you get what I'm saying? Are we together? Right. So Adam named all the animals. And then Adam named Cain. Adam named, in fact, no, before Cain. Adam named, it was Adam that gave Eve the name Eve. I hope you know. It wasn't God. Right. Then Adam named Cain. Adam named Abel. Adam named Seth, his third child, and so on and so forth. And that was the same thing that God wants us to do. In Job chapter 22 verse 28, the Bible says that, and you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16 verse 29, and it says that, Matthew 16 29, can we quickly go there? It says that whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound, sorry, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Matthew 16 29, if you have Amplified Classic, there's something that he said that whatever you rightly permit or lawfully permit. Let's continue. Right, so the same thing that God wanted with him. So now, after the fall in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 8, this is where I'm going now. Genesis 3, 8. Genesis 3, 8. The Bible says that this was after they ate the fruit, and then Adam came, Eve gave him, he ate it, they saw that they were naked, they made leaves, fig leaves to cover themselves and all of that. And then verse 8, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. This was why I said that if you give God a time, that God, every morning, 6 a.m., I want to be in the place of prayer, God will be waiting for you. This was their custom. Do you know what I'm saying? Every evening like that, in the cool of the day, God will stroll to the garden, and then you have a conversation. You have whatever. You will gist with Adam and Eve. And then God came on this particular day, and they are not there. So God asking them, where are you? Are you telling me God didn't know that they've eaten the fruits before he came? Of course, he knew. He knew where, geographically speaking, in terms of location, he knew where they were. But their spirits, where are you? This God is asking, our time of fellowship has come. It's 5 a.m. You're in that 5 a.m. for me. It's 5 a.m. Where are you? It was you that picked the time, 8 p.m. It's 8 p.m. Where are you? Do you hear what I'm saying? It's time for communion. Where are you? It's time for fellowship. Where are you? It's time for prayer. Where are you? It's time to go in with God, to look in with God. Where are you? That's what God was asking them. Where are you guys? It's been a while you prayed. Where are you? It's been a while you sought the face of God on anything. Where are you? Go back to your place of prayer. Go back. Go and fan the flame. If you, while growing up, if you ever used charcoal, you know charcoal stove. How many people know charcoal stove here? Many people know gas here. Yeah. For those who know charcoal stove, you know when you put that thing is stressful. Oh. You put charcoal, then you put light, and then you fan it until everywhere now becomes red. Then you can start using it. That's what God wants. Everywhere, may it still like this, may it red. Do you get? No, when you start fanning it, and then some of the coals have caught fire and they are red. You know that some parts will be red, some parts will be black, will still be black. Flies can still perch on those places that are black, right? But when everywhere is red, flies cannot even come to a particular radius or to a particular centimeter because the heat alone can burn them. That is how our prayer life should be. Everywhere should be red so that any devil, anybody, anything, any challenge that is coming, they know, don't go there. You get what I'm saying? But after a while, everywhere is red. If you are no longer fanning it, it's just a matter of time. It will be cold again. That was why Jesus Christ said that if you cast out a devil, it will go. It will actually be cast out and it will go. But it will go. And then it will come back. And you see that, okay, the house is swept, clean, no occupants, no nothing is going on here. It's not going to bring seven wicked demons to inhabit that person. Because nobody is praying there. Nobody is studying the word of God there. There's no relationship there. Everywhere is cold. Everywhere is refrigerated. Do you get what I'm saying? But if the devil comes back and he sees that, this person in whom I was cast away is not even casting devils from other people. You think he wants to? You think he has the power to come and stay there? Guys, let's go back to the place of prayer. Tell yourself, I need to pray for myself. There's enough of. Shebi, when I go to church, pastor will call for prayer, and I will go out and you pray for me. It's fine, beautiful. Do you understand? But the anointing of God upon your life as a believer cannot be understood by anybody, cannot be quantified by anything. Lay your hands upon yourself and pray in other tongues every day. That is the kind of prayer God wants. Every day, lay your hands upon yourself like this, and you have your destiny to live for yourself. The relationship, nobody can help you. I don't know. Imagine me pray. Of course, people can intercede for you. Like I have people that I'm interceding for. I really want to see them grow in Christ and all of those things. That's the best I can do for them. Do you get what I'm saying? I can only pray, for example, oh God, my sister Shekinah, God, I commit your heart to you. In the name of Jesus, she's going to go in the knowledge and in grace of God, and she will grow in the love of God as well. And I can pray that, but I cannot go to Shekinah. And how do I even want to do it? It's something she has to do for herself. Even if I go to her house and wake her, Shekinah, oh yeah, start praying. When I leave, what if she stops praying? I remember when I used to go to the gym a lot. Forget to the day before. When I used to go to the gym a lot, there was one, like my older friend, you sound like my brother. By what you don't do, you can grieve the Holy Spirit. But this one now, quenching the Holy Spirit, is that means that there's a fire already. I mean, if there's no fire, there's nothing to quench. Do you get what I'm saying? Right? It's like saying that, do not quench the fire that is burning on this place. I mean, literally now. Do not quench. There's no fire. We can't see any fire here. But if I put a fire here now, I can say, do not quench it. So for the Bible to say that, do not quench the Spirit. So the Spirit that you were given at salvation, which is the Holy Spirit, has the potential to give you that prayer. You see, when you say, Jesus, I accept you, he has come with everything. With everything that you need to have a prayer life. Is it the Holy Spirit to help you to pray? Is there. Is it Jesus Christ by whom we pray? Is there. Is it the Father himself to whom we pray? Is there. So why are we not praying? We have seen prayer as work. Like in some ministries, they want to polish some members. The HOM will just say, we will just subject them to prayer. That thing grieves me personally. Why should we see prayer as punishment? Why? prayer should be something that the Bible says that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. When we go to, what did the Bible say? That my house shall be called a house of prayer. So if I'm glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord, I should be glad because I am going to pray. I should be glad because there is a prayer that is about to be offered up. And this prayer that we are talking about is not a prayer of God, bread and water, give me this, give me that, give me that, give me this. Nobody in the Bible literally prayed for give me this and give me that. But they had results and they were giving this and that. Do you know what I'm saying? Do you know? I am many very young, very, very young preachers. Many preachers my age, a bit above my age, a bit lower than my age. I mean, young preachers. They say, our fathers of old, they have taught us about the power of God, but they have not taught us about prosperity. Many of them were poor. I say, God will forgive these people. Who? Which of them? Mention which of them was poor. Should we talk about Babalola? This man, they say, you will come meeting. Like his fellow pastors, evangelists, and all of them. And then they will come. And then they want to pray. No, there's a meeting, and then say they want to eat or something, and then they will tell him to bless the food, and then he will just raise up his hand, and then he'll start praying. 1 hour is there, blessing the food. 2 hours, 3 hours, he has gone 3 days, and he's just there. Everybody has eaten, everybody has gone to work, come back. By the time he came back, say, bless this food in Jesus' name. Baba, which food? I mean, that's prayer. And talking about I grew up in CAC. So if I'm telling you CAC story, I'm telling you the real thing. There was one woman that was traveling, and then she came. This story we heard at a conference, a minister's conference. So the CAC pastor that was actually telling the story. So there was a lady that was traveling, and then she came to Babalola, and then she said, Baba, Ejo, let me keep this money. And he said, put it under the pillow, and then she put on her pillow, and then she went. And then, you know, he was just going about his business, and somebody came, Baba, imagine somebody saying, my rent is due. You know, how much is your rent? That time, I'm talking 1920 something, 1910 or something. Imagine contemporary times, my rent is due. How much is your rent? 500K. And go under the pillow, go and pick it. He didn't put money there. Remember, it was somebody that was traveling that put money there. Do you get what I'm saying? And he go under the pillow. Go and pick it. And then that one will go under the pillow. Cancel 100K. And then we leave. And that, of course, the money wasn't as much as this then. I'm just saying. Right? There's somebody else will come. Baba, my school fees. I'll be my daughter's school fees. How much is it? Say, for example, 200K. Go under the pillow. Count 200K. He didn't even know how much the woman kept there. Anybody that came for financial need, go under the pillow. Anybody that came, go under the pillow. When the owner of the money now came, you are back. Yeah, thank God. Your money in call. Go under the pillow. Guess what? The money was complete. These are people that prayed. These are people that prayed like there's no tomorrow. Man, the way we see some of their pictures, and then they just look very gentle in the calendar. Babalola wasn't a very gentle person. Somebody that would wear masquerade costume. That thing that masquerade people wear. He wear it. You say, Baba, where are you going? He says, he's going to town. You want to go and cause mishap among those masquerade people. They must receive Jesus. Baba, those were the exploits they did from the place of prayer. From the place of prayer. Somebody just wants to bless food. He's there 3 hours. He's there 3 days. Some of them have prayed. If you go to their rooms, you will see their knee has deepened the floor where they were praying. Some of them, their breath has stained the wall where they were praying. And you are telling me that they will not have results? And you think that kind of prayer, how do you pray for food? How do you pray for bread and butter? How do you pray for gimmick for 3 days? And some of them were not even speaking in tongues. What were they praying? We have all the advantage. We have all the anointing. We have all the scriptures. We have all the everything. But we are not praying. Why? And we are not even missing the fact that we are not praying. And we are not even seeing prayerlessness as an issue. We are not seeing it as what is not supposed to be. Some people are just very comfortable being. You are doing yourself a disfavor. You are robbing yourself. That's how I can put it. If you are not praying, you are robbing yourself. Guys, we need to pray. Let me tell you one thing prayer does. Prayer will scatter you. Then prayer will now gather you again. It will all the debris, all the dirty, all the panty in your life, anger, name it, lies, whatever. Prayer will first scatter everything. It's like when you want to rot an iron, you have to put it inside fire. Hot fire, so that the iron will now be ready. You will now be hitting it with another iron so that you can bend it. So whatever shape, that's what prayer does to us. It will bend you. Emi mo lagidi gan. You are not praying. That's why you can say, Emi mo lagidi gan. Ah, you don't know me. If I show you, you are still you. So you still have a you. After we have said in Galatians 2:20 that the life that we live is no longer ours, and you are still saying that you don't know me. Who are you? You are not praying. Ah, oh my, my anger no good. Oh. Baba, you never pray. By the time you pray again, go back, pray again, go back, pray again. There are some Pauline scriptures that you can't exhaust praying them. You can't say, I prayed that scripture yesterday. No! You keep praying it. You see, we'll get it by the special grace of God. Apostle Paul will say, I continually pray. That suggests that he does it every time. It's not even once. I know prayer of faith. When we pray prayer of faith, you pray for him once and then you start giving thanks to God. But there are some prayers that, Baba, you stay there. Because our Christian walk is not a destination. It's an adventure. There's no point where you get there and say, now I'm that believer. I don't need prayer anymore. Baba, I think that's the point where you start needing prayer, Gongo. Do you hear what I'm saying? We tell your neighbor, we need to pray. We need to pray continually. The Bible says that men ought to pray and not to faint. That's in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Men ought to pray and not to faint. We have to, I like how CAC people say it. They say, they make it sound like, yes, this is the real thing. You know when we say some of these things in English? I think it's just me. It's not like I say, so guys, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray now. What's it that? Why? That one, you know that something is about to happen here. You hear what I'm saying? I'm not saying we should not speak our English. Our English is nice. Hallelujah. Like I was saying, prayer will scatter you. Then it will rearrange you. It is called modeling. It is called remodeling. It is called shaping, reshaping, pruning, alignment, fine-tuning. All its work me. All the great works of the men of God in the Bible that we celebrate now were built on the foundation of prayer. On the foundation of prayer. Let us look at Elijah. In 1 Kings chapter, let's go to 1 Kings. Media, please help us so that we can really run fast now. 1 Kings chapter 18, let's be from verse 41 to 46. 1 Kings chapter 18. Okay, and Elijah said to Ahab, go, eat and drink. This was after he put to shame all the prophets of Baal and everything, and there was no rain and all of that. And then Elijah said to Ahab, go thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, that's Mount Carmel, and then he cast himself down upon the earth. And he put, that means he sat on the floor. He put his face between his knees. Imagine sitting on the floor. And then your face is in between your knees like this. And he was there. What do you think he was doing? And then he said to his servant, go up now. Look towards the sea. And then he went up and he looked. And he said, there is nothing. And he said, go again. So that means the first time, Elijah was there, he was praying, the servant went, he came back, there's nothing. He sent the servant, go again. Second time, what was Elijah still doing? Still praying. He went, came back. Third time, what was he? Pray. Imagine how long he tarried in the place of prayer. I mean, Jesus Christ. Let's read the account of Jesus. Guys, we need to pray. I keep saying we need to pray. Because, see, I know that many people really desire a relationship with God. It looks like, God, I'm trying. God, see, with God, I know God is a compassionate God, but God is not a pity party person. Where, hey, yeah, I wouldn't try you. Oh, yeah, Holy Spirit, double on our life. It's not like that. You have to put in the work. You have to put in the work. If it's by pity party, you would have looked upon Jesus and say, ah, see as they do my picking. Oh yeah, they come out. It's enough. Let them be saving themselves. No, it's not a pity party. It's a work that must be done. There are some songs that you will just hear like this. You know that, ah, it's time to pray. What am I looking for? Jesus, thank you. Yeah, Jesus Jesus has Gethsemane. Media, if you have it, I think it's somewhere towards his death. Yeah. So they went up to, that's Mark chapter 14 now. Mark chapter 14, verse 32. They went up to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus went to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. We always picture Jesus as, you know, when he was giving, anytime Jesus is walking, he was like this. Bless you. Bless you. And then maybe when he was praying, Father, if this cup would just pass over me, not your will, Lord, but mine. Ah. You think it's the short tornado when we can win? Ha! Ah. We are talking death. We are talking he prayed that some people said that it was sweat that broke out. Some people said it was blood. Sweat or blood. You don't pray, Father, and sweat will break out. You must have done some serious prayer. In fact, the energy with which he came from that place of prayer, and then he now woke the disciples when they were sleeping. It wasn't like he just stabbed them. You don't shame, man. Do you understand? Such prayer is what we need to pray. So you pray and you feel it. You pray and you sweat it. That's the kind of prayer that when the Bible says that, and then there shall be roots downwards and there shall be fruits upward. Hey, that's the kind of prayer that prevails. That's the kind of prayer that you can say that I am here now. I'm going to stand in gap for my family. I am, and every woman in my family, I don't marry until the age of 35. No, it stops with me. There's a believer here. It's not a prayer of Father. Well, I'm not God. I'm not God that answers prayers. But if the people before us have prayed in a certain way and they got results, if Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with whom we have entrusted our lives, has prayed a certain way, I think we should follow that path. Let's see the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed for his disciples. After that, we'll just discuss what actually hinders us from prayer, and then we'll pray and we'll take the communion. Amen. Yeah, John chapter 17. I think this is like the longest prayer that was recorded. Longest Jesus' prayer that was recorded. John chapter 17. Please, everybody, open your Bibles. Let's read together. At least if it is today, you will say that, I read a chapter of the Bible in church. It's today. We'll read the whole chapter. It's very short. So Jesus prays for himself first. I want us to watch his prayer points, please. Let's watch very, very closely. Very, very closely his prayer points. John chapter 17. Jesus prays for himself. After Jesus said this, he looked up towards heaven and he prayed. It must have been like this, right? And he said, Father, time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you, for you have granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. And verse 5 now. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. That's why the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was God. So all these people that say that, where is Jesus Christ? This is Jesus Christ saying that the glory that I have had with you, even before before God said, light be, and light was in Genesis. Jesus has been there. Let's go on. Now he prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you have given me out of the world. For they were yours, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now, they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. All glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. I am coming to you, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Remember when God was talking to Solomon about the temple? What was he talking about? About his name. When he was talking to Moses, what was he talking about? He was talking about his name. It's that same name now that Jesus Christ was praying here. Where are we? Verse 12 now. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by your name that you gave me. None of them have been lost, except the one doomed to destruction. That's son of perdition. That's Judas. So that scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world anymore than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world. You see how many times Jesus Christ kept saying, they are not of the world. 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 You are not of the... See, you cannot be here. You cannot be like this. It's either you are here or you are here. So if you are saying that you are not of the world, if you are of Christ, if you are truly, truly of Christ, then there has to be some prayer going on somewhere. There has to be fanning of flame. The flame has to be burning red, cold, hot like this. Let's continue. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is your truth. As you sent me in the world, I have sent them into the world. For them, I sanctified myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. That was his prayer for his disciples. Now his prayer for believers, for me, for you, for us. Verse 20, my prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe me through their message. We have believed in Jesus Christ through their message, right? That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, and that they may be one as we are one. I am in them and you in me. So we, us, all of us in Christ, as Christ is in God. Right? That means we are also in God. May they be brought complete in unity to let the world know that you sent me and I love them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those who you have given me to be with me where I am, to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me from the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you to know them, and they will continue to make you known, in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and I myself may be in them. See the prayer that Jesus Christ prayed. See the prayer he prayed. And is the prayer answered or not? If it's not answered, we will not be here. This last portion of the prayer from verse 20 to 25, he was praying for us. He was praying for us. The prayer is for believers that will eventually believe in him. So it's for you. It's for me. And did Jesus lack anything? He did not. There was always provision. Anytime he needed anything, he told Peter, go to the mouth of the fish. Go and bring money. When they killed him, the Bible says that the soldiers, that they were dividing his coats. Baba, Omo, if now clothes will not make sense, you think people will fight for it? See what I'm saying? He didn't lack anything. He paid his tithe, so he paid taxes. That's why I said that give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar. He had everything. How did Jesus not even have everything? Didn't lack anything. So our prayer has to go beyond, give me this, give me that. Because that is actually why most of us don't pray. Because after our give me this, give me that, what's there to say again? Nothing more to say. What are we praying again? Nothing more to pray. That's when it now becomes, I've spoken to many people before, I'm like, how long do you pray? He said, 10 minutes. Even that 10 minutes gone. I say, 10 minutes. You should be doing 30 minutes, pushing 1 hour by now. What will I be saying? Aha. Because after, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for waking me up today. Thank you for my daddy. Thank you for my mommy. Thank you for my thank you for my academics. Thank you for my father. I come to you today, Lord. And then what's there to say? How do we now? 15 minutes. If you, that's your starting point, that's fine. But see, we need to consciously and intentionally press in the place of prayer. Many things are happening in our lives. Some of them we do not understand. And if we are wise Christians, let's read from Corinthians. I mean, if you do not understand many things that are going in your that are going on in your life, and there's this scripture, I think it's only wise that we also pray in a language that we do not understand. And if the things that you do not understand have been going on for a while, and you want to pray in a language that you do not understand, then why are you not praying for 15 minutes? Has it been going on for 15 minutes? Do you get what I'm saying? We need to learn to pray long. Long. Don't come and say, it's not how long. It's how well you have prayed. Keep quiet. It's how long you have prayed and how well you have prayed. Jesus Christ prayed for long. Elijah prayed for long. Moses, he was, for how many days was he on the mount of, what's the name of that mountain? That when he came with ten commandments, he was there for days. And I'm saying you don't have to pray for long. You better let us learn how to readjust our lives to suit the scriptures. Not how to readjust the scripture to suit our lives. No, it should be the other way around. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. In chapter 12, verse 1, it first says that now, brethren, do not be ignorant of the spirituals. In another translation, it should say spiritual gifts. That's fine. Now, chapter 14 now says, For the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him, but he utters mysteries with his spirit. I think this is one way that you can pray and you will never pray amiss. Praying in other tongues. I don't know what I'm praying about. You just pray. Even the Bible says in Romans that we do not know what we ought to pray for. Right? Are we tired? Please don't let us be. We will pray very, very quickly. We need to. We have to. We must. We should. One thing, like I said earlier, that the Bible pointed out. So all of these, how to develop your prayer life, how 12 ways to, 10 ways to, they are fine. But one thing that actually, the Bible actually points out, that number one, this one, get it out of the way. Then come and pray. It's sin. You cannot be in sin. You cannot be living in sin and say you have a prayer life. How is it even convenient that after sinning or after doing whatever, and then, I know the Bible says that we should come boldly. What I mean, at the core of our boldness should be a form of repentance. There should be repentance. You see, this 21st century gospel, the way we just treat sin with levity. Don't let, in the Bible, there's no way where the Bible was saying that for you to develop a prayer life, do this, do that. The only thing the Bible kept hammering on and kicking against was sin, 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 sin. Get rid of it. Detest from it. Flee from it. Don't have anything to do with it. In our main scripture, Second Chronicles. Let's quickly go back there. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. The Lord is going to enable us this morning. Now we are going to pray. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their what? Before he now does what? Before he now heals their land. So God doesn't take sin like, like some people will pray when they are praying, Eshetamomoda. With God, sin is sin. Abi you momo, abi you don't momo. Come to him with a heart of repentance. Repent first. Don't be too smart with God. You cannot speak in tongues away wrongdoing. If you like, pray from now till tomorrow. Ask for forgiveness when you need to. God does not play with holiness. God does not deal with sin. See, he's holy. God is as holy as he is holy. That's why he says in the book of Leviticus and also in Matthew, Jesus Christ reiterated it too. He said, be ye holy as your heavenly Father is holy. So when we are coming to the holies of holies. It's because now we have access to the throne of grace. That's why we come anyhow sometimes. That's why some people just, you know, do anything. And then they just can come to the presence of God anyhow. With their anyhowness. If it was in the days of Moses, before you go to the holies of holies, you would have done some atonement. You would have made some sacrifices. You have washed this one. Sprinkle the blood of this one here. Do this. It was a lot of process. And even while you have done all of those things, you will still, they will not tie a chain around your waist like this, so that when you enter, if any sin is found in you and the Lord strikes you dead there, they will just pull you out. Nobody dares go there with you. Don't even but now that we now have access, we are now playing with the access. We are now toying with the access. Like God is our mate, like God is our friend, like God is someone that. My brothers and sisters, let us flee. Bible says that flee from every appearance. What is it for you, Johnny? Salon. Before you can explain it, before you know some people, they will not say, your mom is looking like this thing is a sin. They will still go a step forward. I want to know. Kiniko, you think that the Bible that says that you should flee from every appearance. Does he not know that you have the Holy Spirit? Does he not know that you are powerful? Why did he not say that you should go and conquer it with your power? Flee from every appearance. I mean, what's his name? Elijah. As powerful as Elijah was, Elijah fled from Jezebel for a while. Flee from every appearance. Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife. Flee from every appearance. What is our Ishe Shuni? Ishe Shuni. It's human excuse, though. All those ones, they don't count with God. Because Bible, even Bible says that he always makes a way of escape. So, there's always a way of escape. He never leaves you with a witness. He never leaves you with help. Unless you're not asking for it. Or unless you're not receiving it. Don't let us play with sin. It will hinder you. It will render you prayerless. It will render you refrigerated. It will render you cold. It will not make you enjoy your walk with God. It will keep giving you it will be guilt-tripping you. Every time you are feeling like you are not loved, every time you are feeling like God is angry at you because you don't stop sinning, let us flee from every appearance of evil. Let us say bye-bye to sin. This is sin. I have turned my back. I have faced Jesus Christ. I have faced the cross. I have faced the place of communion. I want to hold God like this in the place of prayer. Bible says that which that our eyes have seen, that our hands have handled. Sin will keep your eyes from seeing. Sin will keep your hands from handling it. Let's go back to the basis. Let's go and fan our flame. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation and sin condemns any people. Sin is a reproach. It's a reproach to any people. That's how the Bible puts it. Lastly, let's read James. That's why before we pray this morning, before we stand up on your seats, you first ask God for forgiveness. Don't be wise. Don't be too wise for God. If in the first place, your wisdom is like foolishness in his sight. How did the Bible put that in? Don't be too wise for God. He just needs you to come as you are. He needs you to come sincere. He doesn't need you to come wise. He doesn't need you to come brainy. He needs you to come sincere. Come as you are. God, I have done this. I have done that. Please forgive me. Don't say I have and then speak in tongues to cover what you have done. Tell him by yourself. Report yourself to God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Sin and unforgiveness. Those two things that I have read in the scriptures, Bible really, really kicks against them. Bible even says that before you come and pray and you remember that somebody, you have a grudge with somebody, stand up, go back, go and make restitution, go and forgive each other before you come back here to pray. Lest you are just praying and you are just hitting the ceiling and bouncing back. Do you get what I'm saying? So that you don't waste your precious time and say you are praying. James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We are going to pray this morning and God will enable us. We'll pray, we'll sweat it out in the place of prayer. We'll pray all those Pauline prayers. You will see Bible saying that growing in the knowledge of God, knowing God with all the saints and everything, that's our prayer. That's where to start this thing from. That's where to start the relationship from. I don't just meet you today and the first thing you're asking me is, bro, I beg, I see 20K for your hand, Baba. Do you understand? I mean, that's why a lot of relationships break in Nigeria now. James, I know God says that we should make our petitions known, but beyond the petitions, He wants a relationship. He really, really desires it. And it's for your good. It's not that He will be God pro max because we all have a relationship with Him. He's God already. In fact, He's God by Himself. So nothing you do or nothing you do not do can increase His godness, or I don't know. Do you get what I'm saying? It's God already. Oh. Tell your neighbor, it's God already. Run back to Him. James chapter 13. Is any one of you in trouble? He should do what? Are we there? Media. James chapter 13. Sorry, chapter 5, verse 13. Yeah, let's. Is anyone of you in trouble? Let him pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is anyone of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to do what? To pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Good. Now the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be what? Forgiven. Can you say again now? Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now, before this popular scripture we know from this James 5 is that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful in its workings, or the prayer of a righteous man availeth much and all of that. Fine. But before that, the Bible says, confess your sins to each other. What the Bible is saying here is not that I'll now go to Jumoke. Jumoke, I fornicated yesterday. It's not in Jumoke's place to forgive me. She cannot even forgive herself. It is God that forgives. Right? What the Bible is saying is that forgive each other. Whatever it is that you have done against me, ask for forgiveness. Whatever I have done against you, I ask for forgiveness. We forgive each other so that nobody is living in unforgiveness. Do you get what I'm saying? Are we together? So that he says, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. That's why they say that truly, truly, when you are forgiven, if somebody hurts you and then you want to say that you are forgiving the person, the way to know that you are truly forgiven that person is by praying for them. Do you hear what I'm saying? And that you may be healed. In fact, so some of these things that we carry around as sickness and diseases, some of them, they come as a result of bottled up anger, malice. They are not good. I hope you know that they are not even good for your body system. Let it go. Even you will be free. You will be free. Every time there's somebody that you are fighting, when you see that person, your heart will skip two times. Bish. You see that person, bish. I mean, Then the Bible now says that the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Then he now talked about Elijah in 17, verse 17. Elijah was a man like us. Another translation says that he's a man of like passion. He prayed earnestly. Did you see that adverb? He prayed earnestly. He didn't pray. No. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. That was what we prayed, that we read earlier when he was telling his servants to go and check again. Can you see when the Bible says that whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound on earth? Sorry, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth. This was Elijah binding rain on earth, and it was bound in heaven, and it was time to lose it again. And then he loosed it here, and it was in heaven. He was a man of like passion. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed and the heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. Guys, we cannot do away from prayer. I don't know how, maybe to plead, but we need a relationship with God. We cannot just be living life anyhow. We cannot just be living life, and the day I pray, so be it. The day I don't pray, God understands. If all God does not understand, go back and pray. Go back and pray. Pray. Pray like your life depends on it, because your life actually depends on it. Pray. This one life that we all have, Abi, there's anybody that has been here before? You do not want to mess it up. If you don't pray, you will do badly. That's the gospel truth. Pray. Prayer will, even you, it will just get to a point. You just be like, you just notice that some things have changed about you. It's prayer. It's communication with God. There are people that I talk to now that consciously and unconsciously, they just don't use the F word anymore. And when we started talking, any small thing like this, they don't throw them. I'm like, what did you say now? Say, kinikon, he was, I say, why are you using the F word? It's not good. Yeah, it's a curse word. Kinikon, I don't know. Kinikon. And then we'll talk again. Mistakenly, by the time they say it, they'll just catch themselves. I'm sorry. And then we keep talking. Now, they don't even do it anymore. That is how it is when you are talking to God. Many things, you just be shedding. That's why the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, let us lay aside every weight. It will just be shedding. You just lay aside. After a while, after a year, after 6 months, after 3 months, you just see that, this guy just did something and I didn't even get angry. That is God. That is prayer in its workings. Do you hear what I'm saying? Is anybody ready to pray this morning? Before we stand up on your seat, just talk to God, you and God. This is between you and God. We'll pray together as a family shortly now. Just talk to God. Ask for forgiveness. Ask Him for forgiveness. If you are holding anybody, try. Pray. Try. Tell yourself. Tell God, Lord, I've been holding this person. I release this person. I let go of the offense. Be sincere with God. God, it is not easy, but I let go of it. Help me, Holy Spirit. Help me. The Bible says, our ever-present help in time of trouble. The Bible says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God. He's our help. A lot of scriptures. Help. Help me. Help me, God. Help me. Then now ask God to forgive you. You know what you have done. I don't care. I don't want to know what you have done. But just ask God to forgive you. Lord, I lied. I lied this morning. Please forgive me. If there are things that he has told you to stop doing and you are still doing, it's disobedience. Disobedience is a sin. Ask for forgiveness. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry. Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me. And as I cultivate this habit of prayer, as I draw close to you, draw close to me, Lord. He actually will draw close to you if you draw close to Him. Let's be on our feet, everybody. Holiness, Lord, is what you want of us. Holiness, help us. Help us. The Bible says, be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. Before we start praying, I want us all to pray together in the Holy Spirit, and I want us to pray well. Now, the Bible says that He prayed earnestly. I want us to pray earnestly this morning. But before then, if you are in the house this morning, you don't pray in other tongues, or you are not born again, would you please signify and quickly come forward? Please come. You know if you are born again, you know if you are not born again. You know if you pray in other tongues, you know if you don't pray in other tongues. Please come. This is the best way to start your relationship with God. I mean, if you are not born again, where does the relationship start in the first place? Is everybody born again? Does everybody speak in tongues? Has there ever been a time where you said, Lord, I accept you as my Lord and my personal Savior? If no, please come forward, guys. Wherever you are in the auditorium. Our first time, is everybody born again? And we all speak in other tongues. Joseph, you are born again. And you pray in other tongues. My brother, you are born again. You are born again. And you pray in other tongues. You don't. Oh, yeah, come now. How about you? You pray in other tongues. How about you? You're born again. Pray in other tongues. Is there a counselor in the house? A male counselor? Tayo, come. Said he's born again, doesn't pray in other tongues. If you have a Bible, please hold your Bible, everybody. If you don't have one, media, please project Jude 20. Guys, let's pray together. Like, for the next 5-10 minutes, let's just pray. Pour it out. Just pray. Pray like no man's business. Pray because you know now that your life depends on it. You pray first. You first pray and come and see if God will do his own part or not. He can start from here. And God wants it to start now. If you have not started, if you have a prayer life, if you have a prayer culture, increase it. Harness it. Are we ready to pray? Hallelujah. Anyway, do you know? Prayer, oh pilgrim, prayer, oh lonely traveler. All right, let's pray. Let's read together. Jude 20. Is everyone there? Is on media. Jude 20. Jude 20. Jude verse 20. It's just one chapter. Jude verse 20. Jude. Thank you. Are we ready? When we start praying, if you feel like, you are not feeling, if you see somebody that is praying and you need help, go and meet the person. Let the person hold you. Both of you be praying together like that. I'm serious. It will help you. If you feel like you are not praying, if you see somebody praying, go to the person. Let the person hold you. If they come to meet you, accommodate them. Hold them. Let's pray together. As a family, as a house, let's pray together. Let's go. Jude 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. If you have amplified version, AMPC. If you have AMPC, thank you. Let's read together and we start praying. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice, higher and higher. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Shall we begin to pray in the Holy Spirit this afternoon? Malam bregedebosh, kalam bregedebosh, kata daria rabagadabash, kata embramba daria rabalagadebosh, kalem bregedebokos, keteria gadabasha kata embramba daria randegedebosh, kata mambale bregetuzo le bregedebosh, kata. Everybody, make sure you are praying. Make sure you are praying in the house. Make sure you are praying in the house this morning. Embrina mana yara lagadeket, embrokotos kata ayakatatata ayakaraba. Men not to pray. I'm not to faith, men not to prayer, I'm not to better. Echo scotta, ikalaba kadabashakata. Aya ragalabashkata. Belly shall flow.
Sing out of my belly. So flow.
Lord, that is our outcry this morning. That you make us your house of prayer. Ah, that you make us your house of prayer, Jesus. That you embody us. Ah, kashalam regarabos katadia randa dadia ragarabasha kata. That we pray always and we do not faint. E kadabashalam regarabos katadia nam regedebos sukata. Ah, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, we draw strength from you. We draw strength, strength, strength to tarry in the place of prayer. To tarry in the place of prayer. Haya gadabasha kanda diyadabos koteli alablegedish kata. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you for that which you have started. Oh, for those who have come back to you, thank you, because they will start and continue praying. For those who have been praying, that they would reignite the altar again. Help us, Lord, not to quench this spirit anymore. Help us to pray, 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 pray. Stay in the place of prayer. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem. Help us to tarry in the place of prayer. Ah, help us, Jesus. Help us, help us. Help us to pray like you prayed. Help us to pray like Elijah prayed. Help us to pray like Abraham prayed. Help us to pray like David prayed. Help us to pray like the apostles prayed. Help us, Jesus. Help us. As we draw close to you, draw close to us, Jesus. This is our heart cry. This is our desire. Ah. Lord, we have obeyed you this morning. You said we should confess our sins. You said we should forgive one another. And you said that you will heal us. We have done that, and we know that healing is taking place already. Thank you, Jesus. And as we seal this sacred and consecrated moment with the communion, we pray, Lord, that you will perfect every good work that you have started in the name of Jesus. Your word says that it is you that is at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Until there is a completion, we will not back out. In the name of Jesus, you will make your word good in our lives. People will see us and they will see Christ. Like they said of the apostles in Acts chapter 5, that they could tell that these ones have been with Jesus. It will show in our lives that we are with Jesus. And we never leave Jesus. The Bible says that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing, not even angels, not even demons. Thank you, Jesus. We consecrate and we sanctify this element in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Usher, please serve them. Hallelujah. So now we have prayed, and I'm sure many people have felt like, I've got my drive again, I've got my groove again, and all of that. This is not the end in itself. This is just the beginning, right? That's why I didn't say 10 ways to be prayerful, 20 ways to be prayerful. They are fine if you have them, but the only way to pray is by praying. That's the only way to pray. If I give you 10 steps and you don't actually pray, there's no point. So please, I want to encourage and implore everybody, let's go back home and pray. Pray again today. Pray tomorrow. If there are opportunities to come here to pray, pray. Tomorrow, Monday, 3 to 5, come here. We pray 2 hours. We just pray in tongues like you have done today. We just pray in tongues. Come, pray. That's how to build up yourself. It's not until we have this kind of message again. It's not until we have encounter night again. We can't, we won't grow that way. I'm begging everybody, please, let's keep this culture of prayer. Let's keep it. Let's keep it. Let's keep it. Let's maintain it. And if you have been praying, keep at it. Encourage somebody to pray again. Do you get? If you have a praying church, we will have a healthy church. If you have a praying church, we have a prosperous church. If you have a praying church, we have a joyful church. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for enabling us to pray. Hallelujah. How many people feel good after praying? Are you sure? Do you feel good after praying? Do you want to continue praying? No, don't worry. We won't pray here now. Do you want to continue praying? So please, when you get home, pray. Find some 10, 15, 30, 1 hour at home to pray again this night. And you'll be happy for it. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening to my message.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know Him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in Him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.